Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just pray that you'd meet with us today, and God, please just help us all to learn here, God, what we're trying to learn as far as systematic theology goes, and Father, please just open up our hearts to receive your message, to understand the application of these truths. Father, please help me to get through this, God, and to step out of the way, and I just pray, Lord, that you would take over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are in the doctrine of Satan. I hate even saying that. Ooh, it sends like a chill down your spine, you know. We're learning the doctrine of Satan. Systematic theology. We are starting the new series, The Doctrine of Satan. And I think we'll be in here for probably about 3 weeks, maybe. I think there's 4 chapters. We might skim through some of it and not get so focused. But the doctrine of Satan. I believe most of us would agree that we don't want to get too involved in studying out who Satan is. However, there are some things we can learn about our enemy that will help us to understand his motives and his tactics. This can be important as we are called to be sober, to be vigilant, for our adversary the devil roams about back and forth as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So I got a question. Is Satan a real person, or is he just a symbol of prevalent symbol of existing evil? How do you know? Have you ever seen him? Okay. Is anybody that wants to raise their hand? Wayne? Is Satan a person? What? I said, how do you know? Have you seen him? And then Tony had her hand up. What did you say, Tony? Okay.
No, he's an angel. He's not a person. He was an angel. He's a fallen angel.
Okay. So I probably need to define person. Person is personality. If you think of a person, it's a being with a mind and emotion and a will. So, Wayne? Okay. Julie? What verse does it say that in? Okay, so, alright. So how do we know? We know because the Bible says so. Yeah, I've never seen them. I've never seen $1 million either. I've seen it on TV, but you could fake that, right? But I believe that $1 million exists. I believe Satan exists. Maybe I haven't seen him, but I've surely been attacked by him. I've got the scars to prove it. Not physically, of course, but certainly we all go through discouragements, and he's very real. Someone once said, the devil's greatest trick was to convince the world he doesn't exist. And why? Why is that his greatest trick? Why is that such an effective trick for him to convince the world he doesn't exist? I can't see the hands. Jacob.
Well, but if a believer, a Christian, believes that to be true, they're going to tell their guard and their defense, and their faith is going to be, it will be under attack.
Let down defenses. Let me word that a little bit differently. Why might Satan want to convince the world he doesn't exist?
God, it would disprove God,
No Satan, no God, huh? Doesn't have to preclude that, but certainly if there is a Satan, then there has to be a God, right? Okay, why else? Any other ideas? Jacob? Okay. I can't write all that, so you want to sum that up in just a few words? Makes the truth easier to see or harder to see? Okay, easier to deceive. Bob? Okay, so it discredits the Bible. Good. In fact, 2 Peter talks about a time will come when people will say, "Where is your Lord? Are you waiting for?" And they'll, you know, the people will begin to mock us and say, "You know, where is this God that you keep saying He's coming?" And same mentality, right? So, good. Are the people doing that now?
Yeah.
Surely they are. So, good. Those are all good. Satan wants to convince us he doesn't exist or that he's not a real personality for several reasons. Those are some awesome good ones. But some other lies concerning the existence of the enemy. And I'm trying to think about how to transition into this, really. But let's just go ahead and go there, and then I'll try to tie it all together. Okay? So, some would suggest... I'm not going to write all that. Some would suggest there is no real Satan at all. But some would suggest... that Satan isn't really a person, but he is an evil force. You know what I'm talking about? You guys heard of that? Satan isn't real. He's just, you know, he's evil. And evil is eternal. And so, Mom, you have your hand up? And that all comes from this thing in theology called dualism. Who here knows what dualism is? Who here has heard of that? I know you have, Jacob, from Bible college, but Tony? Okay, Helen? Yeah? What's that? Two-faced? Okay. The theological doctrine of dualism is heresy, first off. But Wayne, did you have your hand up? Okay. Dualism, another word for this doctrine is di, which means two. Theism, which means comes from theos, which means God. And what this series is, theological dualism or ditheism is the concept of binary opposition. So you guys know what binary means? Huh? Like two identical, like if you think of binary stars, like two identical stars that like worked opposing one another sort of thing. Okay. So theological dualism or dietheism is the concept of binary opposition. It states that good and evil are absolute opposite laws in the universe existing as two equal uncreated forces. Thus, God is the ultimate expression of good, and Satan is the ultimate expression of evil. Both forces are in opposition to one another, but being equal, neither prevails. You guys ever seen that movie, Oh God, You Devil? I don't recommend it. It's total blasphemy. It's got, what was the older guy's name that used to act? He was like 90 years old. George Burns. George Burns played God and the devil in this movie. And basically it represented this theory, you know, that they were equal forces. What are the problems with dualism? Mom!
The very first one is God is not equal to anyone or anything.
Nothing is equal to God. Is that a better way of saying that?
Yeah.
Okay. Problems with dualism. Nothing is equal to God. Thank goodness for that, right? I mean, think about it. If something else out there was equal to God, we would all be in trouble. It's God, it's the very order of God that holds all things together, the Bible teaches us, and we see in science, as we saw in our video last week, you know, it's the very order of His creation. If there was an equal force out there opposing Him, you would have no order in the universe. You would have constant opposition, even in holding things together. At the same time you had something holding all things together, you'd have something else trying to strip all things apart. And yes, we do. Satan does try to destroy. Yes, Satan does try to lay waste. But thank goodness he's not equal to God. So, because if he was, we'd be in trouble. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. It would be equivalent to me building a card house and Bob walking over and knocking it down. And me building a card house and, you know, him coming over and knocking it down. The card house would never get built because we're equal. So, all right. What's another problem with this theory? Big, huge problem here. What? Well, the dualism theory says that they're both uncreated. They're laws, basically, of the universe. They're uncreated forces. But here's another problem. Jacob? Yeah. Makes him equal to God again. So yeah, sure, he'd love you to think that, wouldn't he? Because he wants to be worshipped. And so if dietheism was true, then he'd be worthy of worship. Really. And I say that with humility because he's not, you know. But yeah. But here's the other problem. Can God really guarantee you salvation if there is an equal force out there opposing His will? He can't. He can't really promise you anything. He cannot promise you everlasting life. He can. Okay? I understand. No, that's good. But He can. But if this theory was true, He can't. All those promises would go out the window. There is no eternal life. There is no, promise of salvation or any of that. You really don't know. The whole universe, there's no order to the universe. It's all chaos. Am I losing everybody here? Because I don't.
Yeah. Because there wouldn't be anything to repent for.
Right. There is no absolute moral right and wrong. I mean, there's the other thing too. Our concept of good comes from God. You know, God is not good because He does the things that we conceive as good. The things that we conceive as good are good because God does them. And so you eliminate all those rules. There's just, it falls down in so many different ways. And that's the only point I wanted to say is Satan is not co-eternal with God. Satan was created. Satan is not an equal force with God. He is a real personality which was created by God. So, okay, going on to the next point. Satan is a real personality. So let's we're going to look up some scriptures here. We're going to use our Bibles. Satan is a real personality. How many of you actually did the homework and actually looked up the verses? Good, thank you. I really appreciate that. What'd you say, Tony? It is on the webpage, yes. Okay, so Matthew chapter 13, verse 39. This is that long, tedious stuff that none of us really like to do, you know, reading our Bibles. But we're going to do that today. We're going to look up a bunch of verses and we're going to prove that Satan is a person and he is not just a force. Matthew chapter 13, verse 39. Jesus, after giving the parable of the tares, the wheat and the tares, explains the wheat and the tares, and he says this verse, the enemy who sowed in his parable, he's talking about the reality of his parable, he says the enemy who sowed them is the devil. Wait a second here. If the devil's just a force, how could he do that? He couldn't do that. He has to be real. The harvest is the end of the age and the reapers are the angels. Okay, turn over to Luke. Chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. After the 70 come back to Jesus and they're like, Lord, we saw that even the devils obey our command. Remember, they were casting out demons because Jesus had given them power over the unclean spirits. You guys remember that? The 70 went out two by two. They come back, they're rejoicing. And Jesus says this, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. There you go again. Satan, a real person, fell from heaven. Now, he could not fall from heaven if he was a force and not a person. And feel free to raise your hands if you have any questions on that. Verse 18. Chapter 10, verse 18. Chapter 11, verse 18. If Satan also, Jesus talking about, they accused Jesus of casting out demons by the spirit of Beelzebub. You guys are familiar with that, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? He is a person. He is a ruler with a kingdom. So, Luke chapter 22, and I'll just tell you about that one. Luke chapter 22, Simon Peter says, Lord, even though all forsake you, I will never forsake you. And he says, Simon, tells him that he's going to deny him three times before the rooster crows twice. But then he goes on to say, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. So we know Satan has a desire, as a person has a desire. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, it talks about the dragon. Satan, it compares Satan to a dragon, and it says that he is enraged, that when he's thrown out of heaven, he goes to it, lay waste, him and his forces try to attack heaven. Michael and his angels do battle with Satan and cast him down from heaven, and he is enraged and pursues the woman, and the woman is Israel, we know that. But we see rage. Rage is a characteristic of a personality. That rage is an emotion, right? Okay, a personality is what? Anybody remember from when we started? We defined it? Mind, will, and emotion. Mind, emotion, and will. Good. Satan has a will. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Let's just go ahead and look that up. The five I wills of Satan. 12, Isaiah chapter 12, or chapter 14, excuse me. Why did I say 12? Verses 12 through 14. We see that Satan has a will. He is self-willed. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Lucifer literally means morning star. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So, is there any question that Satan has a will? 2 Timothy 2:26. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Satan has a will. Satan has a mind, he has an emotion, and he has a will. Satan is a person. I don't think anybody here questions that, but we've got to go through the exercise. We've got to go through all of this. Not only that, the Bible presents him as a person. How many here are familiar with the story of Job, chapter 1? What happens there? God is seated on a throne, and this force kind of moves through heaven. Is that what happens? No, what happens? Can't hear you, Wayne. From whence comest thou? And he says, from going up and down the earth and to and fro on it. Okay, good. Yeah. So we see physical movement. Physical movement. We see God addressing him and him returning the conversation in a real addressing. We see a challenge between God and Satan. God saying to Satan, have you observed my servant Job, and that he is righteous and perfect in all of his ways? And we see Satan arguing with God. We see that little bit of a passion in him. Well, has he served you for naught? You have put a hedge about him and blessed him beyond measure. Of course he's going to serve you, God. And then God lays the challenge. You guys remember that? Okay. Good. So we see Satan as a real person. Again, in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Who knows of that incident? With the angel of the Lord. Angel of the Lord sitting on his throne. And Satan stands and accuses Joshua. You guys don't remember that? Zechariah, oh, this is good. Let's turn over there because this is good stuff. I know something you don't know. Zechariah, it's one of the Old Testament prophets. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Zechariah. Not really. Zechariah, it's like the second to the last book in the Old Testament. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, yep. Chapter 3. This is Zechariah the prophet. And this is a great passage to memorize, folks, because this is one that ties in the Old Testament angel of the Lord as being God. Not only that, we get to see the intercession of Christ for His people and how that all plays out. We get to see Satan as the accuser. We get to see a symbol of our filthy sin being replaced by God's righteousness, even though we don't deserve it. This is a good passage to memorize. But we also see Satan as a real person doing real accusations. So let's read that. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Not God's right hand, Joshua's right hand. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Now who said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you"? The Lord. Okay, so we see there's the angel of the Lord is the Lord. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? If Satan was a force, would God rebuke him? No. I mean, what's the point? So, we're really beating a dead horse here. I think everybody here understands that. Satan is a person. He is a real person. There is no valid argument that he is just a force unless you ignore the Bible. In Matthew chapter 4, you see the wilderness temptation. Satan comes and tempts Christ. Tempts Christ to worship him. Not a force, but a person. So, from all of this, we can conclude that Satan is not just a mystical force. He is a very real and very dangerous person. Okay. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Next week, you know, with the homework and everything else, next week you guys will look up you'll get to conclude for yourselves that this is Satan that's being spoken of here. This week you just have to take my word for it. I'm just going to hand out the homework now. Ezekiel chapter 28. Did you want one, Becky? Oh, yeah. Actually, you don't have a book. So,
yeah.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 28. Is everybody there? Ezekiel chapter 28. And let's go ahead and begin in verse 11. Now he addresses the king of Tyre. And so that's where the argument comes in. Well, this isn't really talking about Satan. But as you go into it, and as this week, as you study through it, I'm sure you'll come to the conclusion this is Satan. If not, I'll help you come to that conclusion next week. So, alright. Verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." Was the king of Tyre in Eden? The garden of... Okay, no. "Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your trembles and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." The day you were created. "You were the anointed cherub." Was the king of Tyre a cherub? A cherub is amongst the highest order of angels. I don't think so. "You are the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." Satan was created. He is not an eternal force. He is not co-equal with God. He will be defeated not by God, not by Christ. He will be defeated by the archangel Michael. Eventually he will be cast into the lake of fire by God, so don't get me wrong. But in Revelation, where it talks about him being in verse chapter 12, I believe it is, it says that he'll be defeated by the archangel Michael. If he was co-equal to God, there's no way that Michael could... Yes, Tony? Oh. There's no way that Michael could defeat him. Satan was created. Any questions on that? Tony, you do. So you're going to get into the problem of evil, right? Okay. Where did evil come from? If God is good and He created everything good, how could Satan have sinned? You want the short answer or the long answer? Short? I don't know. Okay? That's the short answer. That's the greatest theological minds. That's what they come up to. They just put a lot more words to it. So, what's that?
He still gave us free will.
He gave us free will, yes, but that's not the argument. It's whether or not he gave us free will. Go ahead. Yes, he was created before man. What's that? He was created before the Garden of Eden, so on earth, the earthly Garden of Eden, not the heavenly Garden of Eden. Okay. So this, I'm gonna try to answer this the best I can for you, Tony. The honest answer is I don't know. It's all in God's sovereignty. God had a purpose for it, and so He allowed it to happen. Okay. God did not create evil. But part of the problem with us understanding the problem of evil is that we don't understand what evil is. Evil, we have this desire, and I'm glad you asked this because I meant to cover this. And when we talked about dualism, we have this desire to ascribe evil as a polar opposite of good. And that goes back to dualism. You know, good and evil, they're opposing forces. Evil is not the opposite of good. Evil is the lack of good. And so I got this little sunshine, you know, this sun rays, right? I'm a better artist than this, I swear, just not in front of people. Okay, so let me please finish, and then, okay? So, you have sun rays, and everywhere the sun rays shine, you have light. But if I got a tall building here, it casts a shadow. That shadow is darkness. Is this darkness the opposite of the light?
No. It is the lack of light. You guys see that?
So, when we think of light and darkness, cold and hot. Cold is not the opposite of hot. Okay, in order to get cold, you don't introduce negative energy. You just remove the positive energy that's there. Does everybody understand it? So if I go out in space, what's true zero is like negative 300 degrees? That's just because there's no mass there to hold the energy. Actually, there is mass there, but there's no gravity there, energy to hold that mass together. The cold isn't because you have energy creating the cold. The cold is there because you have no energy to introduce the heat. It's the same. Light to darkness. Darkness isn't the presence of some negative energy. Darkness is the absence of light. Evil is not the presence of an opposing force. Evil is the absence of good. And so if you understand it, and I hope, does everybody follow me? Because that's a philosophical expression of it. But that is what it is. I mean, that's how it is. And so when we talk about how is Satan allowed to sin? Well, Mom's right. You have to have free will, right? True love demands a choice be made. If I say, Annie, you shall love me, and she loves me, is she really love me? She's doing what she's told, right? She doesn't really have a choice. She's an automaton at that point. So in order to have true love, you have to have a choice. God in His divine sovereignty and divine wisdom gave man a choice. And so yes, man was good. And man fell. How that happened? God did not create evil. Remember, evil isn't a force. Evil is the absence of good. And so it's just a deeper concept. It's one of those things, again, pondering the imponderable, but it's a deeper concept than we can really, you know, stick a sticker on and say this is, you know, 1995, you know, sort of thing. If that makes sense to everybody. So, thank you. Good question. Okay. Let's talk about names. Names for Satan and what they mean.
The one I can't say, Beelzebub. What is that?
Beelzebub. Oh, good one. Literally what that means is Lord of the Flies. So Beelzebub, okay? I don't know how to spell it, so. Oh, it's. Lord of the Flies. What does that indicate? Indicates death, okay? It indicates that his lordship over the demon force, over the demonic force. So, what's another name? Give me another one. Satan. What does Satan mean? Okay, adversary. Adversary. What's that? Devil? Okay, what's devil mean?
Enemy.
Slant. Oh, is she looking in her book? She's cheating. Who said an accuser? Somebody did. So it goes with this. Diablo. Diablos. That's a Latin name for the devil. Yeah, it's just the same word. What's that?
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
Oh
yeah, it's a city. Yeah, Diablo. Yeah, Diablo Dam or whatever. Yeah. So okay, what's another name? Give me another name. What's that? Oh. Baal. Lucifer was his glorified name, right? No, he doesn't still go by Lucifer anymore. He doesn't get that name anymore. So demon is, he is a demon, but Damian, but that's not really one of his names. So, got some, okay, so Lucifer, son of the morning. What does Baal mean? Anybody know? What does it mean? Okay. Worthless. Helen? Serpent, okay. What's serpent mean? Yeah, serpent. That's what serpent means. Anybody else have their hand up? Bob?
I mean,
dragon?
Great red dragon.
Okay. Okay, it tells us about its fierce nature. Jacob, you have one? You guys were all going to say the same thing? Okay. These two are probably tied together. More than what we credit it. Okay, so there's another one in here.
She said
Damian. We can put that on there because he is a demon. So
no, not demon.
Damian is it's the Greek word for demon, Mom.
Oh, okay.
Did you have one, Tony?
Deceiver?
Okay, and then there's, you got another one, Julie? No, son of the morning or morning star. Lucifer literally means that. Yeah. Yes, he is. So, and you look at that and you say, wow, what's up with that? But did you know that Michael literally means who is like God? Does that make Michael Jesus? Because Jesus is who is like God. No, there it's imagery in the glorification that tells us something about the Son of Man. That was Lucifer was his glorified name. You never see him called that anywhere else except for in Isaiah when it's talking about his pre-fall state and how thou art fallen, Lucifer, son of the morning. Yes, sir? Okay. Thought you had your hand up there. Oh,
it says that he'll come as an angel of light. Good. You know where that's at?
No.
No, it's not in John. You got another name? Go ahead.
Belial.
Belial. That means worthless. Why do we have Baal means worthless? Somebody got me on that one. What's up, Jacob? Son of Perdition is a name for the Antichrist. Or Judas was called Son of Perdition. So, okay, let's call that good. I got two more that I do want to give you. So let's look at these first. Beelzebub, he is the Lord of the flies. He is the prince of the demons. He is the power behind the demonic force. He is Satan. He is the accuser. He is the adversary. The book of Revelation, I believe in chapter 22, when it talks about him being cast in the lake of fire, him who accuses the brethren day and night. That is, Satan is about full, he has a full-time job of accusing us day and night before the Father. The devil, he is a slanderer. He slanders. Baal, I can't remember what Baal stands for. I thought that was the one that meant worthless, but I got schooled. Belial. Belial, we got it down here. Lucifer, son of the morning, that was his glorified name. Serpent and dragon talks about his fierceness and his cunningness. So serpent talks about his cunningness. You remember in Genesis, and the serpent was more cunning than any other beast. Demon talks about he's a demon. So I don't know really where to go with that. He is a deceiver. He deceives. He comes as an angel of light. Those two go together pretty well. Comes as an angel of light. And Belial, worthless. The worthless, we don't really have the right to call him that because that's really not our place. But that's really the Father in heaven. This is his view, okay, of the enemy. So, excuse me. Okay, there are these two names in the book of Revelation. It talks about the angel of the bottomless pit. You guys remember that? Where they lets loose the 300 million demons. The scorpions with the face of a man and the breastplate of a lion and the tails of a scorpion. And they have power to torment men for 6 months, and all men will desire to die, but death will be denied them, that thing. He's given two names there. Do you guys remember what they are? What's the other one? I don't know if I spelt it right. Abaddon and Apollyon. Both of those names mean what? I thought I heard somebody say something. No? Both of those names both mean the destroyer.
There's some debate as to whether or not that this is really Satan that it's talking about, Abaddon and Apollyon, that it's, maybe it's one of his archdemons, and maybe it's not really Satan. Regardless, Satan is the destroyer. And this here, this is the name that best describes him. Think about how Satan works. Satan does not ascend by making himself better. He ascends by bringing others down. Think about his temptation in the wilderness of Christ. What was his whole point there? Was to pull Christ down, to make him stumble. Because if he can make Christ stumble, then God's not perfect. Right? And so if God's not perfect, then hey, I can achieve what God has achieved. Satan's whole thing, he accuses, he deceives, he all of those things. Why are they there? He did not come but to kill and destroy. That's his whole thing. He hates your stinking guts. He hates you. He hates you. Why? Because God has said that once you're saved, Wayne, that is irrevocable. And so he will come at you with everything. Why? Because if he can cause your salvation to be revoked, he can prove God wrong. And therefore, he destroys God's word. And so you wonder why you get blasted. That's a good reason. That's something you should definitely expect. He is the destroyer. Why is it important to know all these things about the enemy? I don't know that it is. I don't know that we really need to get too in-depth with understanding our enemy. We certainly never ought to curse him. Even the Archangel Michael didn't curse him, never dared to bring a railing accusation, but said the Lord rebuke you. But it is good to know your enemy and understand what he's about. And so when you feel attacked, Tony, when you feel like, hey man, just I don't know what it is. I've just been depressed lately. Where's this coming from? You can know the reason why is because he wants to see you. He hates your guts. He wants to see you knocked down. He wants to see you give up. But thankfully, greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. So some other names for him, the prince of the power of the air and the god of this world and so on and so forth. So.
Yeah. I just want to reiterate that he can only do what God allows him to do.
He can only do what God allows him to do. And we see that in his interaction with Job, right? So have you observed my servant who's perfect in all of his ways? What does he say? God, you have a hedge about him. I can't touch him. Let me at him, God. You see that? So understand, he can't do anything unless... What's that?
If he was an equal force, he wouldn't have had to ask permission from
there, God. Good point, Mom. If he was an equal force as God, he wouldn't have had to ask permission from God. So. Well, he came at Job pretty hard, too. Covered him in boils and so on and so forth. Yeah, but he couldn't. He still wasn't able to kill him. You know, I'm sure he would have loved to. Huh?
All the boils and...
Oh, I know. Fate worse than death.